Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, that's where we'll begin. We're going to look at one verse in Isaiah 42 and one in Isaiah 43, but we're going to pretty much hang around in those two chapters. So just keep your Bibles open at that point in your Bibles. Hopefully you'll either have one in front of you from the pew rack or one that you brought with you, or maybe you have one on your phone these days. Just have God's word in front of you. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, hear now the word of God. Says the Lord speaking, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Isaiah 43, this is speaking of God's redeemed people. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We pray, God, that you would help us to stay focused this morning on what is really important. Lord, help us to understand better why we're here and how to do what we're called to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know whether it was a business book or some kind of management book I read one time where the thing that they want people to remember is this. Remember, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's really important. It's good enough to jot down. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. In other words, it's easy to lose your focus, whether it be on a project, whether it be playing a game, or just in the day-to-day living of your life. It's easy to lose your focus. So you need to the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. We think about that this morning because it's Reformation Sunday. It's a day when we celebrate not just a Reformation Sunday, but the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. 500 years ago, under John Calvin in France and John Knox in Scotland. You know, apart from the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, we would not be here today because there would be no Presbyterian church at all. Raymond Ortlund, he's an author and senior pastor of Emmanuel Church in Nashville. He described the Protestant Reformation in this way. He said, the Protestant Reformation was a time in history, and I love the word picture he used. He says, when the Lord God hauled the ship we call the church into dry dock, scraped away 1,500 years worth of encrusted human traditions that were slowing this ship down, refitted the ship with fresh gospel understandings from the Bible, and then relaunched a seaworthy vessel, still sailing strong today. You know, the PCA sails strong. We continue to grow because the ships in the fleet of this PCA church, and we're one of those ships, we know what matters to God. You see, what matters to God then and now has not changed. It's the same thing in the Reformation and in the year of our Lord, 2017. So let me ask you this. What matters to you this morning? You know, what should matter is to keep the main thing the main thing. To remember what our primary purpose is for being placed here on this planet. Let's ask a question we need to ask every single morning when we pour that first cup of coffee, clear the cobwebs from our mind. And the question is this. Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer number one. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's why we exist. To glorify God. That's our purpose. That's our reason for being here. That's the main thing that needs to be the main thing in our lives. But the question is why? Why is that the main thing? Why is it such a big, big, big deal? This morning, let's consider two reasons. Two reasons from Scripture why we need to be sure to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is to glorify God. First reason is this. We glorify God because God's glory is what matters most to God. We glorify God because God's glory is what matters most to God. You read from Genesis to Revelation, God's purpose for creating the world, God's purpose for creating us, boils down to one thing, and that is the glory of God. And nothing matters more to God than God's glory. You see this all through Scripture, where failure to give God glory, it's not a misdemeanor. It's a high crime. It's a capital offense. Romans chapter 1, the ultimate reason for God's wrath is because, and I'm quoting from Romans 1, people did not glorify God as God. You go to the case of King Nebuchadnezzar. He refuses to give glory for God. He says, look at all this city I built for my glory. Immediately God strikes him and he is sent out into the field, made to live and even look like an animal. In Acts, King Herod is struck dead, eaten by worms. And here in Isaiah, God's chosen people who thought they were unassailable because they're God's chosen people are taken to the woodshed by a pagan nation known as Babylon because they failed to give glory to God. That's how serious it is. You cannot do an end run around that reality. God is most passionate about His glory, and He is passionate about us giving glory to God. That's why He says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, you notice that's a huge statement. Whatever you do, whether it be eating or drinking or just the mundane day-to-day activities, cleaning the house, taking out the garbage, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. All, whatever, all. You can't get around it. Now, what is the glory of God? Well, in the Bible, it's pictured mostly. It's pictured as a stunning radiance. It's a spectacular, overwhelming splendor, an incomparable beauty of God's character, and it's so heavy, so weighty, so spectacular is the glory of God, you can't help but notice God's glory. Here's some comparisons God gives to His glory. It's compared to a blinding light, a raging fire, crashing thunder, flashing lightning, beautiful, breathtaking rainbow. Do you notice what all those things have in common? They scream out to be noticed. God's glory is something He wants everybody to notice. You know, in Isaiah 42, verse 8, it says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. And then in Isaiah 43, and verse 7 says, everybody who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I formed and made. Then over in verse 21, he talks about glorifying God by giving God praise. That's what we're about. That is our divinely designed DNA. God wants us to be walking billboards, living, breathing advertisements, credentials, proving there's nothing greater than God. Living endorsements testifying of God's worth. Living infomercials celebrating the glory of God. And there's a major message we communicate. We need to communicate in our lives. And that's this. Here it is. It's not all about me. It's about God. Please remember that. It's not all about me. We are not the point. God is. You can take as many of these as you want to. We're a selfie generation. That's too bad, because it's not about me. Never has been, never will be, never should be. God is the creator. We're the creatures, the created ones. If you don't like to be called a creature, just call yourself a created one. God is sovereign. We live under God's rule. God is the master. We're God's servants. God writes the script. He puts us on the stage of life. We play the part God gives us. And this drama that is our lives, on center stage, in the spotlight, listed first on the movie poster, is God, not us. I love this quote by John Piper. It's really a good quote. I'm going to read it a couple of times in case you want to jot it down. Piper says, "The Lord does not exist to make much of us. We exist to enjoy making much of Him." Notice that. God, the Lord, does not exist to make much of us. We exist to enjoy making much of Him. Now, please understand, we matter to God. Yes, we do. God created us. God provides for us. He gives grace to us. He sent His Son to live and die for His people. No doubt, we matter much to God, but it's not a question of if we matter. It's this. What matters most to God is His glory. So we should be windows through which people get a glimpse of the glory of God. You know, it's been said that preachers' families live in a fishbowl. That's only partially true. If you're a Christian, you live in a fishbowl. And this fishbowl is a place where people are watching every move you make, every word you speak, and what matters is that you give glory to God. When you live to display God's glory in your life, you're beginning to live out your primary purpose. You begin to keep the main thing the main thing. And when you do that, people are going to notice. So that leads us to a second question, and that's this. Now, you know, we glorify God because His glory matters more than anything else. But here's the second question. This is the practical thing. Second is this. We glorify God because God wants our lives, hear this, to showcase His glory. He wants our lives to showcase His glory. He wants us to be passionate about His glory so that we will be windows displaying the glory of God, spotlights highlighting God. Now, how do we live in such a way to where the glory of God becomes so compelling in our lives that people are drawn to us like steel to a magnet, like ants to a picnic? How do we live in such a way so as to showcase attractively God's glory? Let me give you two ways. First way is this. If you look now at chapter 42, verse 8, it says, "I'm the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will give to no other, nor my praise to idols." The first way we showcase God's glory is this. We abandon our idolatries. Now, the problem is the way we picture idols in our lives. We picture some kind of carved image, a statue of Buddha, some carved relic out of wood and stone, and we need to rethink what an idol is. You know, Jonah, when he was underseas, having that little underseas experience, in his prayer he said, and I quote, Jonah 2:8, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." In other words, idols are spiritual blood clots that block the flow of God's grace into our lives. Now, I want to give you a practical definition of what an idol is, because when you get this down, you'll understand idolatry better. And that's this. I'll repeat a couple of times. An idol is anything or anyone other than God that matters most to you. An idol is anything, anyone other than God, and here's the key phrase, that matters most to you. Notice, a lot of things matter, and that's fine. It's okay if other things matter to you, but what matters most? That's the test of idolatry. At any given time, any given place, any given day, what matters more to you than God? If you can answer that question with judgment day honesty, you've located what your idols are. Let's consider some idolatries we all struggle with. And by the way, I am a fellow struggler in every one of these idolatries. First one is this. There's the idolatry of approval. of approval. When what matters most to me is for the significant others in my life to like me. I want most of all to be liked by others. Friends, when that matters more than God's glory, we have a problem. As one author put it, says, when people are big, God is small. And there's your problem. There's the problem. Then there's the idolatry of achievement. And that is, what matters most is what I do. Now, what you do, what you accomplish matters. But how about what matters most? I'll let you in on a little secret about preachers. Discover this when you go to General Assembly. The conversation goes like this. Where are you these days? Have you arrived? Well, I'm where I've been for 22 years. How many members does your church have? How about the budget? What have you achieved? And then they talk about, well, the Lord's blessed me, and then it's always about achievements. You know, I've never heard anyone say, God has blessed me through these bad things that happen in my church. I really think one reason why so many ministers have a problem with retirement, well, I've heard two reasons. One is because, as Howard Hendricks says, they're waiting to retire in case there's a vacancy on the Trinity. But the other reason is a lot of ministers don't like to retire because their self-worth is tied up in their performance. And if they're not performing, they don't feel worthy. Another popular idol is this, besides achievement and approval. Another popular idol is the idol of materialism. And remember, it's okay to have material things. It's fine. It's okay to have a nice income. But when what matters most is having a certain level of income, having this possession, that possession, you know, this kind of thing, if that matters more than the glory of God, then it's an idol. You know, once upon a time, presidential candidate for the United States, the president of the United States, staked his whole campaign on a four-word slogan. You know what the four words were? It's the economy, stupid. And he was reelected twice, 8 years in office on that. It's all about money. That matters most. Mark Twain puts it this way. He says, why do we continue to work at a job we don't really enjoy, to make money we don't really have, to buy things we really don't need, to impress people we don't even like? When money matters more than God does, it's an idol. Remember, the operative term is more than. Also, one other one. Popular idol is the idol of relationships. And that, what matters most to me is my relationship with, you can fill in the blank, my spouse, my children, my family, my friends, my coworkers. Now, there's no doubt about it. God has created us to be relational beings. But there is no relationship ever that should matter more to you than your relationship with God. Now, by God's grace and the power the Holy Spirit provides, our duty is to make sure that people can look at our lives and tell, you know what? What matters most in his life, in her life, is God. God's grace in Christ. You know, this person, I can tell, they want to know God. They want to worship God. They love God more than anything else. They love these other things, but they love God more. Nothing is more important. No one is more important or significant than God. So that's one way we showcase God's glory. Second, very practical, is this. We abandon our idolatry. Second, our lives communicate this single message. That is, it's not about me, it's about God. It's not about me, it's about God. Chapter 41, notice, or rather chapter 43, verse 1, look at that verse. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, notice, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Do you notice this? Our identity is bound up in the fact that we are God's people. We are designed by God to demonstrate God's character on this stage of life. See, people need to see, you know, this person is different. Not different, but different in a good way. We want to be people that whet people's appetite to know God better. I want to share something with you that happened in 1871. There's this non-Christian journalist by the name of Henry Stanley. Non-Christian, he goes into the heart of Africa to find Dr. David Livingstone. You probably heard the phrase Dr. Livingstone, I presume. Livingstone, a noted explorer, medical missionary, cut off from contact for years with the outside world. So Henry Stanley takes 10 months looking for Livingstone. And listen to what he says. I'm quoting Henry Stanley. I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London. But there came for me a long time of reflection when I saw this solitary old man there and asked myself, why does he stay here? What inspires him? Then for months I found myself wondering about this man who quoted the Bible wherever he went. Little by little, as I saw, notice this, his sympathy for others, his piety, and his zeal for God's glory lived day in and day out, I was converted. And then Henry Stanley says, what converted me was both Dr. Livingstone's preaching and the way he preached, get this term, the way he preached what he practiced. So, here's the question. As I try to put this together, I have five diagnostic questions for you to ask today, and I hope every day of your life, to answer the question, am I keeping the main thing the main thing? Am I communicating with my life the message that it's not all about me, it's all about God? Five questions. Here they are. And I encourage you, ask these questions with Judgment Day honesty. Seriously. Is my message about God? My message. You know, like the Pony Express couriers of the days of the Old West, we have a message to deliver. We exist to deliver this message, and it's all about the gospel of God's grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you communicate the gospel? Is your message to others the gospel, or is your message me? Which is it? Second, how about my morals? Morals. It's interesting. In chapter 42, verse 21, it says, the Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. Now, I know you have morals, but do people know where those morals come from? Do they? You see, we show the beauty of God's glory when we live out the imperatives of Scripture. Put it this way. Jesus always lived out the law of God. Always. He embodied the law of God. And guess what? People were irresistibly drawn to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we live out the imperatives of the Bible, we bring glory to God. Third diagnostic question is this. This hits me hard. How about my body? You know what your body is? It's a window through which God desires to show his glory. That's what it is. Your body is even called the temple of God. Let me give you a paraphrase I read of 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. It says, God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. Let me put it this way. When we neglect our bodies, when we abuse our bodies, we give bad press to the glory of God. We communicate this message. Hey, God doesn't care what I do with this body he's given me. Friends, if you care about God's glory, you've got to care about your body. You got to. Then fourth, how about my success? Isn't it interesting, every time in the Old Testament, when God blessed Israel, it was always to billboard his glory. In other words, someone would go by and see a fertile field, And they'll conclude, you know, this is not about the farmer's ability. This is about God blessing that farmer. I love the quote by Alex Haley. You remember him, the author of Roots. He said, and I quote, "When you see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know that turtle had some help getting there." And that's true. And if you're on top of the fence post of any success anywhere in life, you better acknowledge who put you there. And you didn't do it. It's God. One more. How about my future? Looked at my message, my morals, my body, my success. One other one. How about my future? Critical question here. Let me ask you a question about heaven. I'll assume that everyone here wants to go there. But if you could have heaven with no sickness, with all your good friends you've ever had on earth, with all the natural beauties you've ever seen, and with all the physical pleasures you've ever tasted, with no conflict, no disease, no disaster, if you could have all that in heaven, could you be satisfied if God was not there? Could you? All the benefits of heaven, but without God, could you be satisfied? Be honest. See, even our future is bound up in the centrality of God's glory. Friends, what the reformers asked, what God is asking is this: are you keeping the main thing the main thing? Are you putting first things first? Question and answer number one. What is man's chief end? What is his primary purpose? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. May God give you grace to focus on, to live out your God-given purpose. The main thing is to keep the main thing, that is God's glory, the main thing. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we have a problem with keeping the main thing the main thing. Lord, your glory matters most. We are to be windows through which people see your glory, but we cannot glorify you if anything matters more than you do, whether it be approval or achievement or things, relationships. Or we cannot glorify you if our life screams out, "It's all about me." Help us to see we exist to communicate your grace and glory through our lives. Lord, help us in the power of your Spirit to keep the main thing, the main thing. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.